Hello, and welcome to the Three Drinks In podcast, episode number 93. This is another mailbag episode where we answer questions that you, the listeners, have sent to us. Questions about how we feel about the summer movies of 2017 and the upcoming fall TV lineup. I want to remind you that we're available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and now TuneIn Radio. Just search Three Drinks In podcast and you'll easily find us. Hit that subscribe button so you never have to miss an episode. And while you're there, leave a review or at the very least rating. We'd really appreciate that. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we are at the number 3DrinksInPod. That's at 3DrinksInPod. 3DrinksInPodcast on Instagram and Facebook. And questions, concerns, comments, complaints, and most importantly, sponsors can email us at 3DrinksInPodcast@gmail.com. I guess that's it. All right. Sit back and relax. Roll it.
It's like launching a submarine into missiles. Turn your key.
What was that movie, Crimson Tide?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Denzel Washington and Gene Hackman yelling back and forth for 2 hours.
How was it?
Something about the rain. It was always raining or dark, or they were always wet.
What was that awful movie with Gene Hackman and Morgan Freeman?
Oh, Under Suspicion.
I was telling Jackie about it the other day. And she's like, that sounds like a horrible movie. I'm like, it was. It was really horrible.
It was bizarre. I mean, it was these two amazing actors in this really silly movie about...
Silly?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, like, they kind of took that premise. The idea was one of them was, I think it was Gene Hackman, was under suspicion for having committed a murder. I think he was, like, the murderer of a prostitute in some kind of Central American country where he worked as a diplomat. And Morgan Freeman was a cop for some reason. It was Puerto Rico? Someplace like that.
Well, I remember the girl was underage, and he was, like, trying to get him to prove that he liked underage girls. Until he finally does.
He was dead. And like the whole thing was like he was involved somehow with her in an inappropriate way,
but he hadn't
killed her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the whole business was that he was the device used by the filmmaker was to show the crime scene in real time with the characters in it talking in the future. So like,
yeah, so and then I
knelt down beside and looked at this thing, and then what do you call that? Is there a thing?
I don't know. But as you're watching the thing, they're standing there like invisible because they're talking about it in a room. So you're like, well, this is sort of clever for such a horrible thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what it kind of makes you uncomfortable because you're like, are we going to see this? Is this what's going to happen now?
Yeah. And they're both so good, so it's like. Oof.
And it's a device that if it's used sparingly, kind of works. If it's used throughout, you have to be very clever with it. You can't always, you know, it's like the guy who's talking to the person who isn't there, and that person, you know, like the ghost or the figment of his imagination. That only works if it's done well, and that's kind of a tricky needle to thread.
Yeah.
So, like Fight Club did it, but.
Yeah, well, you know. We can debate how well they did that.
You know. Yeah, I saw that movie like in and out in college. Like I wasn't really paying attention, and not the kind of film you can not pay attention to.
No, and I saw it in college where I like sat down with one person and we watched it, and like it blew my brain. I was like, "What the hell is going on?"
Yeah. I thought this it was demands about, a lot of the audience.
I thought it was people just beating each other up, but now it's like a weird cult or something. It was.
Yeah, it turns left at some point. Abruptly,
like halfway through, towards you're like, what am I watching? What is this?
Yeah, at the beginning of the third act, you go, so this is a different film now than what I sat down to watch.
Well, I thought that was what was more surprising than like the big twist that he wasn't really there. Was that you know you don't know what to expect in terms of the movie and the plot, and then you're watching something totally weird, and you're like, oh, this is I'm already in there. I got to finish this. And, you know, you don't know how weird it's going to get because it plunges so quickly into this is really fucked up territory. You know?
Yeah.
So. Anyway, we're not talking about that.
Drink
today.
Over there?
No. Yes, I'm drinking Heineken's left over from my bachelor party.
Really?
Yeah, trying to get rid of them here.
That was a while ago.
It was. It was a while ago.
And they kept. Good for them.
They didn't keep that well. What are you drinking?
I have we switched up some. I have a glass of Woodford Reserve, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey.
Classy.
Yeah, it's delicious. Label batch 2490.
Okay.
It's stronger than I remember. I always forget that better bourbon tends to be more than 80 proof. Mm. So this is 90.4 proof.
Ouch.
So I'll be asleep in 13 minutes.
Not good as they. I'm not big on the solo podcast, but here I go.
Yeah, it's been a long day. Not a bad day, just a long one. And so I was like, you know what? I don't really want beer. Not tonight. Anyway, so we're cracking open the mailbag here again. Been a while.
Yeah, well, we haven't had done that in several mailbags. So
yeah, the new Kenny is finally on the job, and this is like Kenny 4 here. Mm. Haven't bothered to really learn his name. We're just gonna keep calling him Kenny because it's easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, do you have any you want to start with, or anybody
no,
go through here? Yeah.
I think you've got the right. Better pile.
Okay. Right. So at Smod Demon, whatever that means, asks, what did you guys think of the summer movies of 2017?
What did okay. we think
pretty
of the
generic
movies?
Question.
The but, ones that we podcasted about? You can listen to those.
Well, that's pretty obvious. We've done that already. Maybe what does it mean as like, because there's been talk recently in the trades, as it were, of Hollywood going bananas over the fact that they're making less money than they used to, which is bad for them.
It's bad for them. I don't care.
And I was hearing someone talk about that, like the blame game at this point is always funny. Every year, it's always the worst it's ever been, and next year will be the same thing. Mm. It's one of those William Goldman maxims, is that hey, this is the worst year it's ever been, and it's going to get worse. Like, there's just it's never-ending cycle of things getting worse, which is sort of hard to argue with. And they used to blame their audience, which is sort of their, you know, go-to. And that audience used to be like 14-year-old boys.
Yeah.
They would say, like, these are the kind of, you know, films they want to watch. And so they're the ones who are buying tickets and popcorn and everything else. And so, but now they blame cell phones primarily.
Cell phones, Netflix, television.
Yeah.
Pokemon Go.
Which is funny because I always think about when I, you know, reading about the television as a medium in its nascency. And everyone was like, oh, well, this is it. This is the end of this. And it's like they said that about, like, you know, when they created TV dinners. Well, that's it. You never have to cook anything a day in your life. You know, you can go out and buy these pre-made things. You got Salisbury steak and mashed potatoes and some kind of green thing. And then you put that in the oven and you're done. No more pot roasts. No more having to cook anything ever again. And of course.
Finally. Freed from the scourge well, of dinner.
It's true. That was a big thing. I'm reading a book about it's called the 10 Restaurants That Changed America. And one of the things they were talking about in a section about a restaurant that was run called Schraff's was the automats and all these, you know, kind of places where you, you know, go and get food at all hours. And the idea that things were not touched by human hands was a plus when it came to food. Like you didn't, it was a marvel of engineering and technology to have all this food prepared and no human had to actually come in contact with anything organic at all. And now it's just the opposite. Everything is, you know, organic and homemade and, you know, traditional and this and that. And you kind of want that hand cut, hand this. The hands are back involved, but you know, back then it was all, you know, automated, and so that's what they thought, you know, that was going to do for food and cooking. And when TV came around, everyone's like, oh, well, we're never going to have to leave our homes again. They're just going to shutter all the theaters. And it turned out that that was remarkably short-sighted of them. Because for a variety of reasons, people left their homes and went to the movies still. For one reason, they usually had air conditioning. That was a big plus. But people also liked to do things in groups. And the content that was made for film was better for a long time as compared to TV. So even though you could stay home and watch, you know, about 12 hours worth of programming on three channels, which is more than you would get in the movies, it was still better at the movies.
Yeah.
Is this the case now?
No, I mean, they are facing stiff competition from all these other things. Kids are clearly distracted by their cell phones and their apps and their games. I agree. It's, you know, I can get a $2 app and play that for 3 months instead of paying $14 in some cases and going to the movies, you know, to see one thing and then you can't see it again or own it. You know, people really want to own everything on their devices, you know, and you have to
Not even own everything, but just have access to it all the time. Owning a thing, like, right. We're now the dinosaurs that, like, own music and don't have Spotify accounts, and we actually want to download things.
Right.
So when the zombie apocalypse comes, you know, we'll have all the entertainment.
Yeah. So, you know, it's hard to justify going to the movies when you have all these other options. Plus, you don't know if it's any good. You can't sample a movie except the trailers, you know.
And that's just an ad. You're being told what to watch.
You know, I was reading articles about why they don't do music reviews correctly anymore. Because you used to have to rely on people who knew music to review it for you. And now I can listen to it even in big snippets on iTunes and judge for myself. So movie reviews are written by people who are fans and just want to meet the band, and they write good reviews. You know.
Music, you mean?
Music.
Yeah.
So with movies, it's different. It doesn't... I can take a guy's word for it, but now every 2-bit hack with a blog, us, you know, can get on Rotten Tomatoes and tell you whether the movie's good or bad or not. So you're like, well, I don't know. What is 5,000 reviews? Maybe I'll like it. Maybe I won't.
Yeah. I mean, movie reviewers still play a pretty decent role, but I think you're right that the role of the critic is not so much to, you know, let people know this is worth going to, this is not. I mean, the reason that works, that happened in music faster than in movies, I think primarily is that music is so much more subjective, and it comes at you in such shorter bursts. A song is usually no more than 5 minutes long, and you like it or you don't. It's much more personal. Right. The movie, it takes longer to absorb. It, you know, it simply involves more of a time investment, and so a lot of, you know, you've got maybe 100 people in the country writing honest to God reviews to let people know this is worth going to and this is not. And, you know, 9 million people, us included, who are just offering their 2 cents and saying, and with the hope that, like, we are now adding to the cultural conversation, which we're kind of shooting ourselves at the foot. But that's it. That is what's going on here. Right.
So Hollywood didn't have a good year because of that. There were a lot of reboots.
Also, most of the movies were bad.
Yeah, there were reboots, there were sequels, there were 3 boots, you know.
Well, that's all there ever is now. I mean, basically, they make a reboot, a sequel, or something as part of a IP, intellectual property, or my favorite, which is the based on a true story.
Yeah, that's a lot of that.
Which means this is mostly bullshit, but it some parts of it...
There was a guy named Jim at one point.
that we're not going to tell you about might have happened, and that's pretty incredible. It's like my wife was sitting there just now. She's like, she asked me if I wanted to watch Hidden Figures, and I did, because the concept of that I caught myself. I said, yeah. I said, it's about these black women that worked for NASA in the run up to the moon landing. And I was like, I didn't know about that. And it'd be interesting to look. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not going to learn anything. And I kind of had to stop. I was like, well, it's based on a true story, but I don't know what's true, what's not. So to say that I would learn something from watching this historical drama is silly.
Right. Yeah, it's not a documentary.
It's not a documentary at all, but like that's the kind of knee-jerk reaction audiences have to when you say based on a true story. You go, oh, well, not only is this interesting or exciting or engaging, but I feel enlightened or I feel educated as a result. And that's a big selling point, and it's mostly nonsense. Because even the most accurate depiction of some kind of historical event, if it's any good, generally, there's a huge chunk where, like, this is, it's just not true.
Yeah.
Like, I think the most, like, one of the better movies I've seen like that was that movie a few years ago, The Imitation Game, with Benedict Cumberbatch, about the guys that were in Project Ultra. They broke the Nazis code. And, like, the big thing at the end of the movie is, like, they finally break the Enigma code. And they decide, these four mathematicians, not to tell anybody and work with MI6 to give the Admiralty just enough information such that you could win the war as fast as possible without tipping off the Germans that you broke the code, forcing them to create a more complicated code machine. And that's a huge part of the story. It's like, it's entirely false. Like, yeah, that happened, but it wasn't these five guys in a small room decided to deceive the entire British military.
Right.
It was a far more complicated and higher up decision that was, you know, included a lot of people more important than, you know, the guy that broke the code. Mm-hmm. So things like that, where you know, it's pure drama. It's great. It was a really great scene. Bullshit. Absolute nonsense. So... But what did we think overall? Was it a good summer? I mean, last summer I was half awake for it. So you said, you know, your reports were just dismal.
Well, I think the movies were worse last summer.
I tend to agree with you. I didn't see all of them, but based on your reviews, which I trust and what I read, yeah.
Yeah.
There was no Spider-Man Homecoming last year. That was a big deal for us.
I think this year they just had a lot of problems with, you know, fatigue. And it was a nice summer. People were outside, I'm sure.
You know, it was. Yeah, weather-wise, actually, it was a very pleasant summer.
You know, do I really want to go in a theater and watch Pirates of the Caribbean 5? You know, I don't. And I don't want to watch the Baywatch, although I did. But most people didn't. And Transformers 5 or 6 or whatever that one was. You know, and I know that... The thing you have to remember is that Hollywood is much more of a money-making game than an art-making game. And so they don't care about making art. They care about making movies that will make money. And it's easy to fall back. Well, let's just do another Pirates. Let's just do another Michael Bay film. But yeah. Making real good stuff is tough. You know. Yeah. So, yes, I fault Hollywood for doing the same stupid nonsense. I also don't fault them because it's hard to do stuff that's good. I mean, it just is. You know, so when everyone's like, oh, give us something new and original, I could point to 10 original films no one's ever heard of, let alone made money. You know? So you can't only blame them for that. So I understand why. It's like, plus if you sell it to the Chinese people, they love it. So,
well, that's a larger portion of this conversation, though, then people are kind of willing to talk about. So, like,
more willing nowadays because it's just so obvious.
Yes and no, but like I was saying before, like, you know, the people ask, why are films in Hollywood so bad? Well, they used to say it was the 14-year-old boys. They wanted these movies. These are the ones we made. We're sorry if you didn't like it, Mr. Ebert. Or, now we say, oh, it's TV, oh, it's phone, or it's phones. But what people are not willing to say, and I understand this, is that these movies are bad because, not because, but the people in China love it. You know, the overseas market is huge, and it makes up more than 50% of a film's profits. So why the film, are the films bad? They're bad to you, but to the guy in the Fujian province, you know, he'll watch the next 47 Fast and Furious movies. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's an odd, you know, blame game to play, but this is their target demographic now. Mm-hmm. Everybody else. And that's fine. I can't fault them for that. They realize that they can make as much, if not more, money selling so widely that they're going to cover the whole globe. Great. But we're all going to sit there and go, well, where's our next Midnight Cowboy or The Graduate or, yeah, you know, Dog Day Afternoon?
Yeah, no, there's nothing like that for Americans, I guess. We're just tired of seeing the same spectacle that they're now getting used to seeing. I mean, it might tip off after a while. Overseas people might get tired of watching the same computer effects. You know, you never know.
It's possible. I mean, I'm looking over the list of films we reviewed since May. So you had Guardians of the Galaxy, failed. King Arthur, failed.
No, Guardians of the Galaxy Baywatch. Made money.
It made money, but like,
well, we didn't like it, but it made money.
But it's critically failed, definitely.
Not compared to those other films.
What like? Well, no, so yeah, some were both disasters financially and critically. Guardians, I mean, King Arthur won.
Guardians got definitely okay reviews. We didn't like it, but it did okay. And don't feel bad about it. It's not your fault.
No.
You look like you're taking it personally.
Well.
King Arthur definitely didn't do well.
No,
for good reason.
Not at all. But then there was Wonder Woman, which, of course, as you know, is the greatest film of all time.
Yeah. I think it won every award, including awards like, you know, best drama, best documentary, best short film. Yeah. It just won everything.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Oh,
if any movie ever had the benefit of the doubt, it was that one.
let's take a look at the grosses here. So number one movie of the summer, 2017, Wonder Woman, gross of $410 million.
That's a shame.
Domestic.
So it really wasn't that good.
Yeah, no. Guardians, you're right. A little gross, 389.
I know I'm right.
Well, I didn't think it was that. Spider-Man came in behind that one. I'm disappointed in the location of, like, War for the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Because
somehow that just
was,
didn't get a lot of traction this time.
Didn't get a lot of traction. And
that was a good movie.
It's only number 8. It was 145. Huh. So.
Sometimes they just don't. I mean, nobody knows anything. Sometimes it just doesn't land.
Yeah. Nobody really does know anything. Yeah, so, I mean, other... I mean, I'm trying to, like, I'm looking at the top. So we got to maybe, I guess, Girls Trip is like the only movie in the top 10 for sure that wasn't based on something else, but it's a stupid comedy. But like Baby Driver at number 11. Mm-hmm. It's probably the only original story we had this summer. And it was pretty good.
Yeah.
So, like, they still make them. The drop-off, I think, this summer was the most extreme. So we had an entire summer last year of just schlock. And this time we had, you know, a couple of really good movies. And then it just fell off in August. Mm-hmm. You know, like the Cliffs of Dover, just whoom, straight down.
Yeah.
So
it was an okay season, and... hopefully, you know, next year is better.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Thank you for your question, Mr. Smod person. All right, your turn.
Okay. I have a letter here from John from Cincinnati.
John from Cincinnati. Actual letter.
Yeah, well, it's nice to get a real name. That's not like a stupid email all the time.
Well, it's an email, but
we just signed it John, so it was like,
yeah, right, yeah.
And
it's not at something, which I'm tired of.
Yeah,
you know, like on the news, they quote at the real Donald Trump. I'm like, just put Donald Trump. I don't care where the hell you got it from.
I know who you mean.
Oh, the real Donald Trump.
Donnie Trump. He owns the discount tire shop down the road. Oh, you mean the president of the United States of America? Oh, I get it now. So anyway, John from Cincinnati wants to know what we thought of this season of Game of Thrones.
Ah, good question.
Yeah, you don't.
I have no idea.
You don't watch that show.
No, I don't. And people look at me kind of funny, like, what? It's like John Mulaney had a great joke about, because I guess he doesn't drink for whatever reason, and he says it's always funny when you tell someone. Like you're at a party or their house, and they offer you a cocktail, and they go, "Oh no, it's okay, I don't drink." And all of a sudden, they're like, they don't know what to do. Like, "Oh, we have an old turnip. Would you like that?" Like they can't figure out what to offer you as opposed to alcohol. And it's getting like that with Game of Thrones. They go, "Oh, you don't? Oh, do you own a television?"
Yeah.
Like they just assume that you're some kind of Amish person. Yeah. But
well, I watched.
No, I just, I watched the first season. I liked it. It was good. And I began to watch the second season, and then there was too many random murders.
Yeah. And, well, you don't have a good stomach for that sort of thing.
It's not so much the stomach. It's part of it. The other part of it was like, it's not enjoyable to me to spend an entire hour with my sphincter tightened up like a snare drum, waiting for someone to get raped or their throat cut. It's just not I need excitement and drama and tension. I just in that world without morality, it's just constant anxiety, and I don't find that to be entertaining. Mm. But which is a shame because everything else about it seems to be so good.
Yeah,
right. The acting, the writing. But anyway. Go ahead. What did you think of the season of Game of Thrones?
I liked it. I thought it was good. It was one of the shorter seasons they did. It was only 7 episodes this year, and then next year's the last year, and they're only doing 6.
Mm.
And I think
But
I think they're only going to be like 30 minutes or 90 minutes each. Like they're all going to be very long, extended, huge budget episode type things.
I heard they were trying to get them picked up in theaters.
Yeah, they might do that.
Which would be really interesting, considering the last thing we just talked about was how people are not going to the movies anymore.
Yeah. Well, side topic. I always see ads for those Fathom events. They must do okay with those, I guess, right?
Yeah.
They're always interesting.
I mean, where do you see ads for them?
Right before the movies.
Oh, okay.
So you'll see, like... They're playing The Godfather for the one night only this week, and they're putting on a ballet or a prize fight. Like they had the UFC fights, and you could go watch it in the theater on a huge screen. And I don't know who...
And not a bar? Like,
right. Well,
that's right. I'd want to go watch a boxing match in a bar.
I mean, if you really want to see those kinds of things, I guess you can. I don't know who go... Like every time it happens, I'm like, oh, The Godfather, that'd be really cool to see. And then I'm like, I could just watch it on Spike.
Well, the thing about going to see a movie like that at a Fathom event is you're not actually watching a print of the movie. It's like when we go see the Rift Tracks thing. It's just a broadcast of some – it's some digital projection of a – you know, it's not – the quality of the picture, I'm saying, is
right.
Probably less than great. And with The Godfather, it's so dark in that movie. I'm not so sure how good that is.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. I haven't seen it, but I mean, that stuff is. I like seeing old movies in theaters, but yeah, I wonder about how well you can actually see it.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see Game of Thrones on that because it, you know, it's all in HD. It might look pretty good.
You know,
and the budgets and the The special effects are clearly movie worthy. I mean, the stuff they had this year with the dragons and the zombies. Oh my God.
When we get to Star Trek, we'll talk about that later. We, you know, the budget for the average Game of Thrones episode is $10
million. Yeah.
The budget for the new Star Trek TV show is $8
Yeah, well,
per episode, by the way. It's not
very odd
overall.
Because Game of Thrones, like, barely ekes out a profit on the show. I mean, the merchandise alone is buy you a small island. But the show is so unbelievably expensive, and it's pirated so much that I'm sure, like, they say, like, we don't make that much money. You know, we have a cast of thousands. Half of them are computer-generated. We film in every continent on the planet. You know, it takes 8 months to do an episode. I mean, it takes forever. You know, it's a difficult show.
It's a bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're making 8 feature-length episodes, you know, usually these things, take you 8 months to do, but they have to do them all within that, you know, 8-12-month period. That's nuts.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
So, I
enjoyed it, though. It was a good season.
I don't know what they're talking about when they do, but people I hear talk about it do complain about some of the, you know, the decisions made by a lot of the characters seem to be done as far as in fan service, because some characters are just so popular and they make really dumb decisions and they always kind of end up like, all I hear is how Jon Snow is great and we love him and blah, blah. But like people who give it more thought tend to say, well, he's an idiot as far as like the decisions his character makes, but they continue having him be successful because people like the character and they need somebody in the show to have something resembling a moral compass.
Yeah.
And that, as a result, makes him look ridiculous as compared to the other people who are far, far more calculating and realized.
Yeah, so the problem with the show is when George R. R. Martin, before he wrote the books, he wrote for television. And he was constantly being told, you got to scale it down, George. It's too much, you know. So, you know, when he had his spare time, he goes, I'm going to write my own books, and I'm going to make them unfilmable. 1,000 characters, dragons, zombies, you know. I'm going to do whatever I want, because I'll never make a movie out of it. Well, now they made movies out of it. And the problem with that is that he writes so much that he writes so slowly. That's like the huge gag, is that he hasn't finished the books. So they ran out of book while they were filming. And he gave them like a rough outline, like, well, this is what's going to happen, and you guys just do the rest on your own. And they've really suffered without that. Like, they just know they have to put everybody in certain spots, and they don't really know how to get them there. So they start making odd decisions and uncharacteristic plays, and a lot of the stuff that happens, like, it takes place over the whole continent, but characters seem to get back and forth much faster than they used to.
That's what I heard. You know? Like, all of a sudden, the geography has changed dramatically.
Yeah, like, getting to the other side of the ocean suddenly takes, like, a day, maybe. And it's not a problem if you didn't bring it up before, but they did. It used to be, like, trips took a long time. And all of a sudden, they don't take any time. And you're like, oh, wait a minute, what? Like, it's noticeable, so...
So he's written 5 books?
Yeah.
And this is the 6th season, so they've gone past what they had for them. Is he still writing? I mean, I understand that the time commitment of the press and the and just being a fat dorky guy.
Yeah, well, he doesn't work on the show.
Turn celebrity.
You know,
must, but that's got to be, you know, distracting to have all these vying for your attention.
Yeah, no, I don't begrudge him how slow he goes, because it's tough to do that sort of thing, and you know, there's a lot of pressure, and he does a million other things now too.
He also writes on, you know, the closest thing to a typewriter that you can write on. It's like whatever computer it is. Did you hear this? But
yeah, he doesn't want anyone to connect to the internet, and it's the blue screen like DOS. You know, it's all
he said I like that because I so many of my characters have slightly different types of names, and they're not like I don't want this. I want that. Like I don't want Edward. I want Eddard.
Yeah,
for whatever reason. Not sir, but sir, like all these different little things he does differently. Fine. And this program apparently works better for him, but like it doesn't make the work go any faster.
No, he's slow. And so the writing on the show is not nearly as good as it used to be. It just, you kind of forgive it because the spectacle is so amazing. Like even I was watching it, I'm like, this season is not well written, but like, did you just see that dragon murder all those zombies with its fire breath? That was awesome. Like, that was really cool. So it feels very fan service-y. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what's going to happen when these books... I'm told he's got one more that's definitely going to come out. And at some point, he's going to have that coronary. And that'll be the end of it. But...
Yeah.
Is this a novelization? Because it technically... They're happening independent, but they're not entirely separate from each other.
I mean, it's very much like The Lord of the Rings, where... The movie sort of trimmed a lot of that extra stuff away, and the show did the same thing. Like, there's extra characters and plot lines in the books that aren't in the show. And
right, but what I'm talking about is, so let's just say he finishes the book that it's supposedly coming out any day now. So that's book six. There's supposed to be, what, seven of them altogether?
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to completely finish.
Oh, yeah.
And premiere season seven before he may even get started writing that book.
Oh, yeah.
Is he going to write his own thing totally different from the TV show?
You have to ask him. I don't know.
I mean, yeah. That to me is interesting because then you can have all kinds of nerdy arguments about which is the true thing and
which is better.
You know, people. Yeah, and like usually the thing that shows up first is the thing that ends up taking the prize in terms of its popularity.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you can see it like done so well on HBO with all the nudity and the special effects.
And the nudity.
So,
yeah, right.
I mean, this show always had a problem as well in that in the very first scene of the show in the first season was you see the zombies kill a bunch of people. And it's been slowly, they've been telling you, zombies are coming to murder us all. We have to get our shit together.
I can't stress this enough, people.
I cannot stress enough how many zombies are coming to kill us. You know? And they say, like, and you know this in the back of your head, like, as they kill each other to see who's going to be the king of the throne, the zombies are on their way. And so now they're here. Like, this is it. The zombies have crossed the giant ice wall, and they're marching on the land. And everybody has to sort of, like, band together, and some people are still kind of fighting, but not really. So everyone's like, oh, it lost that edge. It lost that ambiguity. Yeah, it did. Now we're pure evil versus good people. There is no ambiguity in that. So you've sort of traded one fantasy thing for another that were completely separate kind of themes inside, and now you've mushed them together, so it's a little jarring after so long.
Well, yeah, that seems to be the ultimate sort of problematic aspect of this show, is that you started off by saying this fantastical thing is happening, and then you spend the next 6 years doing very straightforward political drama set in a medieval setting. With, okay, there was bits about dragons here and there, but that always took a back seat to this.
Yeah, it wasn't so the focus.
And that's okay, but you do have to, it's those two things have to be reconciled at some point. And if you don't do it well, it's just kind of, you kind of tumble into it. And that might be interesting too. I don't know. I'm not an avid viewer. But it seems like that they were always going to, like, not only was, were the characters going to be caught unawares, but the author as well.
Yeah.
So
what's interesting to me, is how it's going to end. I don't even really seem to care how we're going to get there anymore. Because now you've got an army of zombies coming. You've got Jon Snow, who people kind of guessed it a while back. He was always Sean Bean's bastard who was looked down upon by everybody. Turns out he's the legitimate heir to the Iron Throne. He should be the king. Dum, dum, dum. And now he's hooking up with the girl who expects to be queen. You know, so it's very much like there's no good way this ends.
Well, yeah.
You know, so it's just curious, like, how's it going to finish out? I don't know.
And I think the title of the show in the books implies that there needs to be some kind of satisfying ending. It's called a Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. By definition, a game has to have a conclusion. It can't be perpetual.
Right. So you're kind of sitting here like, you know, who's going to win? I mean, you expect not the zombies, but, you know, they'll probably take somebody down with them.
So. I heard that people were somewhat disappointed, though not wholly, about the death of Littlefinger.
Yeah.
Which I went back and watched. That's what I do. I hear, the Red Wedding was nuts. And I go back and I'll go to YouTube and I go,
did you watch
oh my God, this was terrible. Yeah. I'll do things like that. And I actually watched the death of Littlefinger today or yesterday. I was like, boy, that was fast. She's good, that little one.
Yeah.
with the knives and the stabbing. Quite impressive. I liked that. There were things have been pointed out to me, like, oh, you should check out this scene or this moment. And that actress is, I can't think of her name, Daisy, Maisie, something. She has a scene where she's, like, traveling with a bunch of people to, like, her aunt's house or something. And wherever she goes. But she's going someplace where she thinks she's going to find some modicum of safety or comfort. And she gets there. They go, oh, no, she's dead. Hmm. The person you're trying to find is dead. And the character just bursts out laughing. Like, can you believe my rotten luck? And that's the reason I can't watch that show. It's because it's so terrible and so evil and so awful all the time that the only thing that the poor put upon characters can do is just laugh about the absurdity of it. I'm like, you know what? This is where I get off.
Yeah, that's what makes it interesting is see there how they react to that stuff.
Jeez.
So I'm excited. But.
Yeah, no, I...
Anyway.
I miss Sean Bean. All right, so John in Cincinnati, thank you for your question. Go Bengals. that's what we got to talk about here. All right, another Twitter thing. At TV Snob 429 says, what shows are you looking forward to this fall season, Eve? A fall TV preview, if you will. I have a bunch that I know of. Looking forward to is a different story altogether. Do you have any that you're looking forward to? Like, ooh, that'll be good.
That'll be good.
That's a caveat and a half.
I mean, I've seen 100 commercials now for the Orville with Seth MacFarlane. And we're huge Star Trek fans, and it's clearly a Star Trek thing. But he doesn't have a good track record the last 10 years. So, like, I look good, and then at once, oh, from Seth MacFarlane. I was like, oh, God, it's going to be fart jokes on the Enterprise, isn't it? Get somebody else in there.
I remember Garrett Wang, who played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, was always disappointed that there wasn't more comedy in Star Trek.
It's hard to do comedy in sci-fi.
Very, very hard. Like, they were able to do it in Firefly.
Yeah, because they didn't act like futuristic humans. They were just regular humans in space. Yeah,
the sci-fi thing was entirely incidental. Like, they did everything they could to make it look less like that, as a matter of fact. Like, the sounds their guns made were the only thing that reminded you at some points that, oh, wait, this is the future. Because they were firing laser revolvers. I don't know. But, like, it was different.
Yeah. So I, you know, I'm going to watch that. Just it's already getting bad reviews. But it, you know, it's close enough to Star Trek, even though we have real Star Trek coming out.
Yes, that arrives soon-ish. Yeah.
You would think we would be more excited for that.
You would think. We're not.
I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be like.
I have seen two trailers for it, or previews, or commercials, or whatever. I still have no idea who is in it and what they're doing. I know that there's a gay guy played by the gay guy from Rent. I know there's a woman who's black. I know there's a woman who's Asian. And there's the guy from The Patriot, like the jerk British guy from The Patriot, who plays a character without a British accent.
Oh, really?
He's yeah.
Like I'm pretty sure he's a British guy and stuff.
No, he's like
Harry Potter.
Oh, right, yeah. Harry, yeah. I've seen Harry Potter, but I know him more from The Patriot. Mm. But I think he's doing an American accent.
Yeah, interesting.
And what's funny is the one thing I know about the show was something I read in an interview with Ira Stephen Baer, who was the executive producer of Deep Space Nine. And the interview asked him, so have you noticed the way they've been talking about Star Trek Discovery, about how it's a totally new take on Star Trek with internal conflict between the characters, not just between, you know, alien races, and how they have diversity and they're dealing with all kinds of issues, which is funny because that's exactly what Deep Space Nine did in the early 90s. Like they're talking about this show like this is the groundbreaking Star Trek that's going to change the way that they make Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And all they're doing is stuff that's already been done. I mean, there was no overt homosexuality discussed in DS9, but there was that great episode where you had what I believe was the first primetime on-screen kiss between two people of the same gender. I don't know if it's like a syndication thing, who gets the, you know, that, but like...
Yeah.
Anyway, but like it's... This is not new, this is not groundbreaking. It's just...
Well, that's all I'm hearing about this show is how diverse it is. And I'm sitting here going, why do they keep pushing this? Like, it's got a black female lead or something like that, and an Asian one, and a gay guy. And I'm like, I don't care about that. And people who are already Star Trek fans don't care about that because they've already had that. Maybe not the gay character, you're right. But they've had plenty of people of color. We've had a black captain. We've had a female captain. They all did the same. Like, unless that's going to be part of it. Like, unless they turn around and go, well, I'm the black female captain, and you're going to do what I say. Unless that's part of it, why is that, you know, of interest? It seems so shameless to me.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said before, $8 million an episode is not a small amount of money. And this is the thing they think is going to propel them into this streaming world.
Yeah,
that's the entire purpose of this show.
I'm a little annoyed we have to pay for this. The Orville is free.
We get one episode, right?
We get one, and then you got to get it on streaming. You got to pay six. I think it's $5.99 a month or something.
$5.99 a month?
Yeah.
I'm only going to watch the one damn show.
The one show. Like, I'm not going to watch Big Bang reruns on CBS All Access because I can watch that anytime on TBS.
Yeah.
So... Also, or, I wouldn't, you know, do that.
Channel 9. Or, no, I like the Big Bang Theory. They're fun. It's just, it's nice to have a good old-fashioned multi-camera sitcom.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, that's a lot of money. I mean, we'll watch the first one and we'll see. But, yeah, that I'm not quite sure what their game plan is here. Not that I know anything about this business from that point of view, but... They have a built-in audience of fans, and they have decided that the best way to initiate their foray into the streaming market is to create a show that has, you know, it's a huge, like, intellectual property fan base built in. But you're going to make a show that essentially alienates them from what they're expecting. Like, you're not serving the fans by making a show. And which is ironic, because people talk about Star Trek from very different points of view. If you ask LeVar Burton why he did Star Trek, it was because, and Whoopi Goldberg always says the same thing, it was important to them as children to see black people on TV alongside white people in roles of prominence and of, you know, responsibility. You know, they weren't just the maid or the butler or whatever. And that's very important, and I'm glad that they felt that way, because they were good on that show, and I, you know, they wouldn't have been involved, you know, had that not been a part of their experience. And so I'm not saying that that's not important to some people. It's just not important to everybody. And it wasn't really important to Gene Roddenberry either. You know, he wanted to show a future that was better, and he knew that if we all got along, if you know, black people and white people and Asian people all got along, that would signify improvement. And that would give you an idea of, this is what the future can be. We're not going to be bickering about the Cold War or the civil rights issues, you know, in 400 years. He was using that to tell us, to make a story point, to make the ground the show in some kind of believable setting in the very distant future. But that was it. They didn't point out the fact that they were black or Asian or Russian. It just, they were there.
Yeah, no, so I don't know. I also don't understand what their plan is in, like, the story. I know it's supposed to take place before Kirk.
But only 10 years before Kirk. So they're out there doing other shit in a different ship.
Yeah. Here's what I think they should have done before they even do it.
Here's the show that I wanted to see.
They should have done something. First of all, stop going into the past. That's dumb. Mm. Go into the future. All right. We had at the end of Deep Space Nine, which was like the last futuristic show, they had just recovered from a war. And so you could show that and the repercussions of that and stuff like, and each season you could bounce around. It's supposed to be a galaxy is a big place. You know, you could do one on a space station, and then the next year do one on a starship, and the next one on like a colony out there somewhere. And it could be the same universe, but you wouldn't, with like an anthology show, you wouldn't have to stick with a ship exploring new places every time. You know why? Because that's been done already. Yeah. Okay, so would it be radically different from what came before? Yes, but not so different that I go, I don't understand what this is. You know?
Yeah.
You've got 700 episodes of people boldly going and exploring. You don't need any more. And so this one's called Discovery. So even though I haven't seen it, I can assume there's something like that happening. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know.
Maybe. I really have no idea. I mean,
and I find it a little insulting that just because it's called Star Trek, I'll go see it, although that's exactly what's happening.
Just saying. As I'm slowly handing somebody cash.
I hate myself.
Do you think they're going to make, I mean, you make a good point about doing a different kind of show. And so Voyager ended, and that was the end of the, that was really the end of the,
right,
of the futuristic ones. It was just terrible. And then they went back in the past with Enterprise. But Enterprise was still in the same, what's the right word? Milieu, which is an awful French word, but like, there's a style of doing things.
Yeah.
That began with, you know, the original series. It was refined with Next Generation and then continued and perpetuated in DS9 and Voyager. And they tweaked it a little bit in Enterprise to give you an idea, like to kind of help you connect to the characters. People wore jeans. They didn't wear these ridiculous shiny tunics. They, you know, it was, but you were still in the same, you know, style.
Yeah,
of show.
The concepts and the core of what the show was about was the same. It never changed.
But that, But not even that. Just, I mean, style, which is a very difficult word to grapple with, but it's important because that's just a way of making television, a way it covers everything about it. And then the big shift came with the Chris Pine movies, where they used it's not the same style. And if you change the style, you change Star Trek. And we go to see it because it's fun and it reminds us of the thing we liked. But we know it's not the thing we like. It's a different thing altogether. And I think this show, you know, the people who greenlit this show saw the success of those films, modest as you might think it's been, not you personally, but modest as that success has been, they still made money and drew an audience and said, let's do something like that on TV and call it Star Trek. And I think that's what they're doing now. I don't think they're going to want to do a show in the same style as the previous incarnations of the franchise. And I'm wondering if they're ever going to get back to it, because what you just said is perfect. It's this vast, enormous federation that covers thousands and thousands of, you know, light years of space. You can tell 100 different stories like that.
Yeah.
Set one and, you know, keep the style the same, but change the kinds of stories you tell within that style. Are they ever going to do that again? Or are we just, we kind of have to sit back and go, well, we had a good run there.
We had a good run, and now we're just going to get space action show called Star Trek.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll see. We don't know.
And I think that's sort of like, and we'll keep talking about it, I'm sure, but that's sort of the last word on this is like, you're not going to make the show again. You're essentially lying to me when you call it this. And if not lying to me, then you're using the name of this and some of the idiosyncrasies of it to tell different, you know, tell stories a different way and make money off of me. Mm-hmm. It's cynical and depressing and very, and you know, it's very curmudgeonly of me to do that. But I think that's really what we're talking about here.
Yeah, it could be.
And we should all be honest about it. And if we want to be sad about it, fine. And I am, because I think it'd be nice to have more of what I like.
Yeah. 700 wasn't enough.
You know, sometimes, I mean, sometimes, like, you know, Chris Hardwick talks all the time about, you know, more is always better. It's not, he never says it like that, but whenever he talks to people, you know, involved with like Star Wars and this and that, he's kind of fawning about having them on the show and being excited about their projects. But there's always like that editorial part of the guys at Nerdist who are like, yeah, we love this, but, and he has to suppress that, I think, for the sake of
they definitely do
of
now.
The business.
Yeah, I mean, we don't work in that business,
much more.
So, yeah.
But anyway, that's where we are with Star Trek, I think. But
yeah. What else is there coming out this fall?
Young Sheldon, for those of you who are really big fans of The Big Bang Theory.
You kill me already, Jesus.
I know. That's not going to be any good.
I hope that crashes and burns so hard.
I do appreciate that they got Jim Parsons to be the narrator.
Oh, like that's real hard. Come on.
I don't know if it's hard, but like they thought about it. Like,
give me a break. This Heineken's making me angry.
it's my angry beer.
It's like gin.
Marvel's Inhumans. Have you seen that trailer for this yet?
Yeah, have you?
Yeah.
It's about magic people who live on the moon.
Is that where they live? I couldn't quite figure out what they were talking about there.
They live on the moon.
On the moon, huh? Like I'm looking at this going, maybe this could be No,
it's like a worse version of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Which is saying something, because that's not a good show. Yeah.
It kind of had a promise. Clark Gregg was good. I like Clark Gregg. He's still doing it. He's
still
good.
There, yeah.
Yeah. They traded out him for Martin Freeman in the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they filmed the Inhumans in Hawaii, which you know, I guess they just wanted to film in Hawaii. I think the idea is that, like, they come from the moon because they're, like, ousted this group, and they have to, like, go into hiding because they look like regular people. And what better remote, you know, tax haven can you think of besides certain Hawaiian, you know, Caribbean islands and stuff? And Hawaii's right there, so let's go to Hawaii.
Perfect.
I'm sure the scenery looks great.
It's settled.
Yeah, and I won't be watching.
May the wind be at your back. And I'm just kidding.
Yeah. And it has one of the main characters is Anson Mount, who I really like. He was on Hell on Wheels. But his character has the superpower where if he opens his mouth to speak, he like creates shockwaves that blow over houses. So he can't talk. So all he does is glower at everybody the whole show. And that's got to be tough. I wouldn't want to be able to be the character that can't talk.
I mean, that's an interesting thing, kind of a handicap for a character to have to overcome, but...
That's better for, like, books, where you can at least hear their thoughts. Like, I'd be curious. I mean, maybe he just doesn't talk, and they just all talk for him. I don't know.
I have no idea. Will and Grace is back, everybody.
Yeah. Get on that sweet nostalgia train. Everybody wants a piece of that pie.
And, you know, the only reason I thought of this when I read this question, and I was like, oh, Will and Grace. The way in which gay people are portrayed on TV now is very different from the way they were portrayed on TV then. I mean, the thing about Will and Grace was, like, you could do that show back then, like the mid-90s, for two reasons. One, Will was the least gay guy ever, as far as TV shows go. Mm-hmm. Like, there was nothing overtly feminine or anything about him, which is fine. It's kind of, but that was deliberately what they were saying. He's not so gay as to turn off straight people who are watching it next to their wives. Like, that's, and then, you know, that was just, it was a very conscious decision to play that character as if, you know, he, and there were times on the show where, like, they play with the romantic. I mean, the thing is, it's the sexual tension between Will and Grace that formed the foundation of that show.
Sort of. Not really. He is gay. He doesn't hook up with her.
He is gay, but it's one of those things where, like, they would be together if he wasn't gay.
Well, yeah, you could
That's
see
the
them
whole
together,
damn
point. Because he's so straight acting.
He's so straight acting, and they have such a strong relationship, and it's that the whole point of having the two of them live together is it's ironic that he's gay. Otherwise, they'd be married and have four kids.
Yeah.
You know, so that's odd. And then the kind of, you know, Sambo character you have of the other guy who's so gay, you know, he's singeing the carpet kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You can't do that on TV anymore.
I mean, you can.
You can, but it's...
No one wants to see that anymore.
I mean, the only place that I've seen a character like that gay, is Titus Burgess's character, Titus, on that show, The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Mm-hmm. And he's great. I mean, he's phenomenal. And but he's so over the top. But that's that show. The show is over the top and kind of weird and kooky. And have you heard of this one before?
Yeah, I've heard that one.
Yeah. So, like, you know, that it plays with the rest of the show. In Will and Grace, I can't think of this character's name.
Jack.
But he was supposed to stand out. Jack, thank you. He was supposed to stand out.
Yeah.
As the hello, every, you know, like, you know, so, but they don't do that anymore. And the way in which him and the other woman have a relationship that's, you know, girlfriend kind of like, it's just different, and I'm curious to see how they're going to address that, if at all.
No, they won't. They'll just let it go. What was interesting to me, because my wife used to watch it, and I didn't like that show, but she thought it was funny. And they did a sort of thing like Mad About You. I don't know if anyone remembers that show. In the last episode,
I love that show.
They zoom ahead into the future, and you find out what happens to them 5-10 years down the road, and like Will and Grace aren't friends. And they don't talk, and they end up with their exes, or it's, you know, nice, tidy little bow. And I was like, oh, they're bringing that show back? And my wife goes, but But we've already gone 10 years into the future. We know how that all ends. So I read up on it, and apparently they're just going to ignore what happened that last episode. Which made her even more upset, because she was like, what, are they just still living in that apartment literally 10 years later? Like, they're clearly older looking. She's like, is that what happened? I'm like, I guess you have to tune in to find out. Like, I don't know.
There is a reason that people don't do this. Like, it did... what was the other one? The Gilmore Girls did this too. And the whole, I think we've talked about this already. The entire premise of the series was that this woman was trying to get her daughter, who's a genius, into a fancy prep school and then into Yale. And then the show ends with her graduation party. This little small town in Connecticut throws her a graduation party for finishing Yale. She's going off to work for CNN or whatever the hell that...
Yeah, she's
gonna do.
She comes back as a failure.
Yeah. So you just spent 7 years explaining to me how this kid was literally going to own the planet by the time she was 35, and then she shows up and has accomplished literally nothing.
Good job.
That doesn't make any sense. So yeah, these, like,
I'm not going to watch this show either. My wife, I mean, probably will though. So
the closest thing that. Is that Fuller House thing.
Oh, my God.
Because they just repeat all the same mistakes that the other people make. We'll just do the show again. I mean, that to me is actually better. It's just like, we're not going to betray the previous storyline. We'll just continue it with these characters now grown up.
Well, that I can understand.
It's not clever, but it's not... totally incongruous to what you were doing before.
It's like if How Much Your Mother came back and they were like, just ignore the last three seasons. Like, I can't do that mentally. I was an emotionally invested participant in that show. I cared about what was going on, and now you're asking me, just because you want to keep making more for money's sake, clearly that's the only reason, just pretend that didn't happen. Because the whole point of these shows is that they ended. Their stories ended, and there's nothing more to say. And now you're saying, well, if you're willing to pay for more stuff, we'll make up something else. Like, maybe to go to the moon or
can you say long lost triplets?
Yeah. Would you like Will and Grace better if they were on Sequest? Can we make that work somehow?
Talking about one they should bring back.
Yeah, right? Like, we all love a good talking dolphin.
Oh, it's the best part of the show. Best actor in the show, too.
Yeah. Oh, Roy Scheider had his moments.
That's true.
And even he was like, I got to get out before we fight King Neptune. Oh, it's too late.
King Neptune. That's right. Then Michael Ironside showed up.
Michael Ironside. Oh, my God.
All right. After that, we have Stranger Things. Did you see Stranger Things yet?
No, I didn't see it. I don't really care.
Oh, well, you should, because it's the only thing worth watching right now on Netflix.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
That's new.
I don't know. The next season's supposed to be even scarier than the last one, they said.
Oh, see, that's too bad.
Well, only for you, because you're a big baby.
Yeah. Well, the whole point, not the whole point, the whole thing I liked about, one of the main reasons I liked it so much, was that it was just scary enough.
But I thought you didn't like being sphincter tightening the whole hour.
I don't. That's the point. This wasn't that. It was supposed to be less than that, or they were aiming for less than that. It seemed there were things about it that were scary. There were things about it that were tense, but because of what they were setting up, you kind of knew that your main cast of children weren't going to die. It had that very, and we'll talk about this more when we get to Close Encounters next week. And but it's kind of like E.T. where, like, the kids aren't going to die. Like, that's just not the kind of movies they made back then. We're talking the late 70s, early 80s. This show takes place in the 80s, and it's very true not only to, what things looked like and how people dressed and behaved in the 80s, but also how stuff was made back then. It's pure, it's perfect nostalgia for that time period extended to the way in which the show was made and how it was written. And that's what made it so great, was that it was a modern show set, you know, in the 80s, but not of the 80s, except for the fact that you felt comfort in knowing that they weren't going to kill the children, which is good, because you don't want to watch kids getting killed on TV. It's terrible.
No.
You just don't, you know. So you didn't know how things were going to work out, but you took some measure of comfort in the fact that they would, that there was going to be a positive resolution to what you were seeing. Even if it wasn't complete, it wasn't going to be heartbreaking, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I watched all the seasons of Fargo this summer, and top five best shows. I mean, it was a great show. And so I listened to a podcast with the guy who wrote it, and they asked him about the violence, because the first season was violent, and the second season was unbelievably violent. Mm. And then the third season wasn't. It was not a very violent, it had moments, but it wasn't nearly as brutal as the last ones. And they asked him about it, and he said, you know, violence should never be something that you should be entertained by, at least on my show. He's like, it should be shocking. It should be disturbing. It's not a normal thing. People don't blow each other's heads off, or worse. And so to use it sparingly or like grotesquely is supposed to shock you because your guard is down. And on a show like Game of Thrones, I don't go into that clutching my chest, because you just can't. Where, because you know, like, okay, a guy might die, but not everyone, and not at all the times, and things like that. Versus a show like The Walking Dead, where they expect someone to get eaten every 3 seconds, and it happens. So, like the first couple seasons of that were like this pulse pounding thing, where you're like, oh my god, anything can happen, and then you become like numb to it,
right.
You know. So.
Or not, in my case.
Right. So a show like Stranger Things or even Fargo, where like you have to relax or you can't enjoy it. And if right. it's written well enough, you do that automatically, you know?
Yeah. That's really what it is there were moments in there where you can breathe and you can kind of go, all right, what's happening? Because yeah. there was so things happens, happening you, to inform story.
You are shocked.
You yeah. know? Yeah. And it builds properly. There's no big jumpy things. Like, you know, you're surprised by things, but you're not like, they're not trying to make you crap yourself. They're just trying to, you know, engage you, which they did. Yeah. So the fact that they're saying, oh, it's scarier, that's not the point, everybody.
That's what they say.
The thing I was nervous about, which I've heard other people say too, is that they. It's a continuation of the same story, which is hard because the story before was so unusual that a continuation of it kind of makes sense because the people in it go through a very traumatic experience, and to leave it as it was is hard, but to continue it would be, I think, even harder. So I'm concerned it's going to be a lot of rehashing of what they've already touched on.
I mean,
versus again, and you know, looking at it like an anthology series, somebody else's point of view on the same thing versus the same people's point of view on the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, it just really depends on how good your writing staff is, because you'll get stuff like that where it's, you know, okay, keep the story going, and you'll get stuff like Under the Dome where they can't sustain a story that long, and you're just like, oh my god. I hope they all die. When you're actively waiting for everyone to just kick the bucket, it's not so good.
So we'll see. I'm looking forward to that one. That's the one I'm looking for. And the last one that I noticed really today for the first time is The Deuce on HBO, which features a friend of mine. Back when I was a teacher in the Bronx, I worked with a woman who By day, she was a substitute English teacher, and by night, she was a working actress. Mm. And she has a part on this show. Can't think of the character's name, but her nickname is Thunder Thighs, as advertised. Awesome. Yeah, it's great.
No surprise. So
it's about the prostitutes. Yeah, it's about the prostitutes in New York City during the 70s or the 80s or both. But you said it was the guys that did The Wire?
Yeah, one of the guys that did The Wire, and it got very good reviews for the whole season. So many shows, they only show you 3 or 4 episodes, and then you just have to wait until they actually air. That's what happened with, like, The Defenders. You know, so Defenders had crappy reviews because they were like, we only saw the first 4 episodes where nothing happened. But, you know, so the reviews weren't good. And they were like, well, we don't know what the rest of the show. It could be great, but what we saw stunk. And this show, they showed all of them, and they were like, it's good the whole way through. Watch this. It's the guys that did The Wire. It's HBO. So I might tune in and see how it is.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Maggie Gyllenhaal or James Franco.
Yeah, James Franco plays two guys, like twins.
Really?
Yeah, he plays both of them. They did the same thing with the third season of Fargo.
Yeah.
So it can be done. I mean, the technology looks really good. So
sure. It's hard.
Well, it used to be. it's one of those 90s sitcoms.
James Franco. Well, James, I mean, like, acting wise, it's hard. Like, James Franco is no Ewan McGregor.
No. Yeah, no, I know. It's James Franco, you either like him or you don't.
Yes.
So, I could go either way, I guess.
I have to tell you the story about the time I was walking through the town I used to live in, and they were shooting a movie nearby, and I walked up to one of the Teamsters. I said, well, what are they doing? They go, oh, they're shooting a movie. I said, oh, yeah? With who? He goes, James Franco. And I went, oh.
Oh.
He goes, what's the matter? You don't like James Franco? I went, no, not really. The guy thought that was hilarious. I was so disappointed it was James Franco. He's just sitting there in a truck doing nothing, and that's what Teamsters do, is nothing.
They do, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll check that out.
Yeah. So that's all I can think of for TV. Mm-hmm. So do we have any NFL football predictions?
I think the ratings will decline again. they're already down from this past week was the first game on Thursday night. And the ratings were down like 12% or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a lot of percent.
It's so exhausting. Isn't it just so exhausting? I read that somewhere the other day where some writer on was like writing about some of the players that screwed up something big. And they were like, the season hasn't even started yet. Why is football season just exhausting to listen to and watch?
It never really stops.
All the fucking nonsense the players do. There's always drama.
Like, before I started to listen to podcasts pretty much exclusively in my car on the way to work, because I have about, you know, between 45 minutes to an hour to get to work every day. Now I just get news and everything else through podcasts that are, you know, pre-recorded. But for a while, before that was really popular, I would do sports talk radio in the morning. And the two big shows in New York are Mike and Mike in the morning on ESPN Radio and Boomer and Carton on WFAN. Now, New York is the biggest market for everything on the planet Earth, the whole planet. And these are the two, only two radio that I know of, the only two sports talk shows for morning drive time. They only feature football guys. So they have the radio guy, and they have the sports guy. So one guy played sports, one guy just talks about it all the time. Both guys are football guys. I don't know, and if you guys want to tweet us and let us know, if there is a popular major market radio show, you know, for either drive time AM or PM that features one former athlete that did not play football, I'm dying to know who that guy is, because that's what the hell they're talking about all the time, which means they can't talk about much else in nearly as much detail as football. So it's reached its saturation point.
Yeah, I think so.
I think in terms of how much people talk about it, I think in terms of, you know, the safety issue is becoming a thing. There's all these things happening at the same time. People are finding out that, oh my God, getting hit in the head really hard a lot is bad for you, despite whatever kind of, you know, gear we can put on you to prevent that. That, plus just simply the saturation of it, the politics of it are a big thing. There was a thing I read a while back saying that, I can't think of the exact number off the top of my head, I'm sorry, but a sizable percentage of people who watched less football last year than the year before did so, or rather said they did so, because the politics that were introduced into the conversation by the players themselves, namely Colin Kaepernick. So you have that stuff going on. It's part of the conversation. ESPN, they laid off like 110 people.
Yeah, well, that's a combination of things, too.
Right, but everyone's ratings are down, and what does ESPN do? They talk about football.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we don't hear about... I'm not saying that these players in other sports don't do stupid things. They do. They're overgrown children who get paid too much money, but, I mean, every time football starts, it's like, oh, this guy beat his wife, this guy drove drunk down the highway backwards and killed somebody, and... You know, will he play? Will his suspension's playing? What's the quarterback eating this week? It's it's too much. You get so little for all of that work too. It's really what bothers me. And I like to watch football. I do. And then at the end of it, I'm always left with like I just ate a bowl of ice cream and only ate the sprinkles. And then like I waited till the ice cream melted and dropped it all out. Because that's how it feels when I watch football at the end of the day. I'm like, well, I watched about 8 hours of football. I listened to it for 8 hours. And I watched about, I don't know, 23 minutes of actual game. And what's changed? My team is either one more win or one more loss.
Yeah.
You know, then we wait a whole week and do it over again.
I forget. I think it was 16 minutes.
Yeah.
In a 3-hour broadcast, the average length of time that you are able to view active football is 16 minutes. That's insane.
Yeah, it's not a lot. And I don't work in bars anymore, thank God. I used to have to watch every game. Oh, my God. I don't know how people with that red zone do it.
Some people love it. I mean, if you think about it, though, if we're talking about, like, percentage of time spent watching actual football versus watching bullshit and commercials and talking about it, red zone is the best thing in the world, because all you're watching, it's just you can't follow it because it's too fast.
But that's like, and that's why it's different than baseball, at least for me, in that like I'm a Yankees fan and I enjoy watching the Rays, but I don't want to watch the other 28 teams.
Yeah.
So like if I'm watching the Giants, I don't want to suddenly be emotionally invested in some other team because they're about to score. Like, I don't want to watch the bottom of the ninth every baseball game. You know? Like, there's a guy on third. Switch to that channel. No. What? I don't care about the Padres.
Well, that's the amazing thing that the NFL has done, is that it sort of made people, I don't know how they did this, it made people not really care about who they were watching, so long as they were watching football.
You just like them all, you hate them all. It's weird.
I mean, which is, you know, if you think about it, is odd, because the rabidness of some football fans is excessive. I mean, there are people who, you know, they spend thousands of dollars of their savings on personal seat licenses for stadiums, and then more money on the right to park there, so they could bring a camper and essentially camp out on an asphalt slab for 6 to 7 hours before going into the stadium to watch the football game. Mm-hmm. Paint themselves up and like all this, but then they'll watch every other game and be as invested in it as they are for their own team. And maybe it's because they know more about it and they understand how the result of the game they just watched, which didn't feature their team, affects their team later on. okay, fine. But it, the same is true of baseball, and I can't follow that closely. I have to set my phone to let me know if the Red Sox win or lose, just so I can keep up with the you know with the standings. There's a lot more games to be concerned about in baseball, but
yeah, no,
yeah.
I don't have any predictions other than the Jets will be terrible. So.
Yeah, I think that's. I mean, again, I don't follow this too much that close, but like that seems to be the prevailing opinion.
Yeah, they're supposed to be so bad that they don't shouldn't even go to the game. Like, just forfeit. They're going to be that bad. I can believe that because they're usually very bad.
So, yeah.
You know, and the Giants will be. Well, we live in New York, so the Giants will be there.
Okay.
Maybe they'll be fine. Maybe they won't. But I don't know.
Yeah. We still have a good quarterback.
Yeah, he's okay. He's indestructible.
I've always liked Eli Manning.
He plays a ton of games.
Yeah, I mean, like, he plays all the time. He's won two Super Bowls, both of them very exciting Super Bowls. I mean, has there been a more exciting Super Bowl besides last year's?
So last year's was pretty good.
That didn't feature the... Well, I mean, that was, I think, the best one because the deficit was so extreme.
Yeah.
But the two before that were great. In recent memory, were both giant victories.
There was
over the Patriots.
There was one like, was it Steelers and Cardinals? Like, I don't remember these things. I remember that game was pretty good too.
The Cardinals lost that one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
I have to think about these in terms of like, where was I when like, because I don't remember it. Like, right. So that was.
Which couch was I sitting on?
Yeah, that was our buddy Greg's basement. And I brought my wife, who I'd been dating only for a short time. At that point, over to watch the game, and we made chili, and
that's the
took
Giants
6 hours.
Game,
no, that was. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that was the Giants game. The one before that was the. Yeah, okay, you're right.
Old,
yeah,
man.
That was.
You're getting old.
Yeah. Well, only so much space in the head. There, I have to make room for new stuff.
I'm not making room for Super Bowls.
Yeah, it's really the first thing to go if I have my tither, my druthers about it.
Yeah. Right up there with my social security number.
No, that's important. I'll need that. But, all right, I think that's, that wasn't a lot of letters, but that was a lot of talking, so
well,
I hope you were
all. It was all the good letters, you know, we don't read out the death threats and things like that. And,
well,
you
yeah.
You suck, and, you know, please stop studying this, those. We know we suck.
Yeah, we get it, guys.
You don't have to write those threatening letters anymore.
But those of you with good questions, we thank you very much for sending those in. I also want to do a quick check here as to our recent Twitter poll regarding the Star Trek captains, because apparently it was Star Trek Day yesterday, and I didn't I wasn't on that.
51 years.
So 51 years. That's amazing. Okay, as of right now, we have 3 votes, and it's a 3-way tie between Kirk, Picard, and Sisko.
Ah, see, I didn't vote this time.
Ooh.
I thought I'd let someone else vote.
Yeah, I did vote, so.
And
I'll tell you who I voted for later.
Oh.
Yeah, so I thought that we'd be announcing this this tonight, but I set the poll for 24 hours instead of like 5.
Oh, so we still have time?
Yeah, so if you want to vote, guys, and if I manage to put this podcast on the air in the next 10 hours and 20 minutes, you should go do that. But look for future polls if this one passes you by.
It was great. Greg texted me when he saw the poll. I don't know if he voted, but he goes, my favorite is Captain Sisko, and it was the guy who does the thong song. The picture was great.
Captain Sisko. That is good.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
Like he was wearing like a bright leather, red leather jumpsuit.
Red leather outfit, yeah.
That's great.
From the video.
Yeah.
He also pointed out that there was Captain, what's his name? Not Alan. Is it Alan Ruck? No.
Yeah, Alan Ruck.
Alan Ruck. I think it was the guy's first name.
Captain
Alan Ruck from... I had to Google that guy's the character name, Captain Harriman. Apparently,
Yeah, name. Okay,
I had no idea. So, anyway, that's it. That's everything.
So that's it for this mailbag. But if you have other mail, you can send it to us. Where can they send it?
They can send it to us on Twitter at the number 3 drinks in pod. That's at 3 drinks in pod. We are on Facebook. We are on Instagram. You can email us 3 drinks in podcast at gmail.com. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, and now TuneIn Radio. Just search for the Three Drinks In podcast. You'll easily find us. Leave a review, or at the very least a rating. We'd really appreciate that. I think that's all the plugging I have to do at the end of the show. Just remember now. But yeah, questions, concerns, comments, complaints can be sent to all those places. And I think that's it.
Yeah, I think so. Cool.
Okay.
Enjoy the,
as always,
fall TV season, everyone.
Yes, let us know what you think of the shows we talked about today. It'd be very helpful for future discussions. We'll take a look at least the first episode of some of them and report back as to what we think. I imagine we'll do one on Star Trek just for the hell of it.
Yeah. Sorry, everybody. I know we always say we're
one done. More Star Trek show.
We weren't.
Yeah. So, all right. As always, please drink responsibly.
Yep. See you then.
Adios.